From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin, on this beautiful Wednesday, September 25th, 2013. As always, we have another fantastic show in store for you all. In just a few minutes, I will be sitting down with former Spartan running back great Tico Duckett. Yes, Tico will be joining me in the studio, and we're going to dive into everything from my embarrassing outing against him on Quiz Busters, which will be airing next week on Wednesday, to his playing career here at MSU, we'll dive into a lot of subjects, along with some questions from you all. Tico Duckett, he will be joining me in just a minute. And also, it's Wednesday, so yes, you know, that means it's Barbershop Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about the WNBA in this one. Now, yesterday, if you tune into the show, Matt and I were sitting down, and both of us didn't even realize how deep into the WNBA that the playoffs are right now, as the Western and Eastern Conference Finals are getting ready to tip off, and no one knew it. I had no idea. So we're going to discuss whether the WNBA will ever reach a point of immense relevancy in the world of sports. If you got any comment on that, again, 517-355-9527. We'll also discuss Penn State, as the NCAA has decided that, hey, they got it wrong the first time, and they're giving back Penn State's football scholarships in lieu of that whole Jerry Sandusky molestation trial. So, got any comments on any of that, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, here are your current sports headlines on this September 25th, 2013. The Detroit Tigers are back in the playoffs for a third straight season, but they have their eyes on a bigger prize, and they won't be partying until that AL Central Championship is back in their hands again. Doug Fister, he struck out 7 in the Tigers' homer 3 times in the 4th inning to clinch a playoff berth with a 4-2 victory over the Minnesota Twins on Tuesday night. Now, Victor Martinez and Omar Infante went back-to-back, and Austin Jackson hit a 2-run homer late in the 4th to put the Tigers in front. Now, Doug Fister gave up 2 runs and 8 hits in 6 1/3 innings to help Detroit secure at least a AL wildcard spot. But Jim Leland, of course, they're not satisfied with this one. Quote, "I guess it's okay. We're not celebrating because we haven't done what we want to do." Now, Cleveland rallied behind to beat Chicago White Sox last night in a 5-4 victory in the bottom of the 9th inning to prevent the Tigers from clinching their third straight division title. One more Tigers win or Indians loss will lock it up for Detroit. Now, the Tigers, they were swept by the San Francisco Giants in the World Series last season. They would like to clinch as soon as possible to allow, slugger Miguel Cabrera a few days off to rest up. And Tigers left-handed pitcher Phil Koch returned to Detroit to have an MRI on his ailing left elbow. Now, Leland said Koch felt more tightness in his elbow in the morning, and Victor Martinez homer extended his hitting streak to 11 games. Tonight, right-handed pitcher Max Scherzer pitches for the Tigers on against the Minnesota right-handed pitcher Kevin Correa. So check out for that. The Tigers, they could clinch it tonight, folks. All they need is an Indian loss or a Tigers win. So here we go. And speaking of Cleveland, Jason Giambi belted a 2-run pinch hit homer with 2 outs in the 9th inning to give Cleveland a shocking 5-4 win over the Chicago White Sox last night, keeping the Indians up in the lead pack in the AL wildcard race. Now, Giambi drove a 1-1 pitch from Addison Reed deep into the lower deck in right field to prevent a potentially devastating loss for the Indians, who are trying to make the postseason for the first time since 2007. Now, this was his 10th career walk-off homer and his second pinch hit walk-off this season. Now, on July 29th, he became the oldest player to hit a walk-off homer, breaking a mark previously held by Hall of Famer Hank Aaron. Now, Giambi has become the Indians' elder statesman of the squad. Now, Michael Wacha, he was unbelievable last night. The Cardinals versus Nationals game. On Michael Wacha's 9th career start and just 15th major league appearance, he was 1 out away from a no-hitter. Yes, Wacha, who's 22 years old, said that he knew from the first inning that he knew he had a no-hitter going, saying, quote, "You know if you got it or not. I was just going out there every inning, just pounding the strike zone. Now, in the ninth, Steve Lombarzoni grounded out for the first out. Then Denard Span was called out on strikes. But Ryan Zimmerman singled on a ground ball that tipped Waka's glove. Pete Cosman tried to get the ball out at first, but Zimmerman was safe. So Waka said everything about Tuesday night felt great, even the ice bath at the end of the game, saying it was cold, but it was a good cold. All right, Detroit Lions tight end Joseph Foria. He did a quick version. If you saw the last Sunday's game, Detroit tight end Joseph Foria, after scoring a touchdown, he did a quick version of the NSYNC dance to the song Bye 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 after he scored and caught the attention of the band and Jimmy Fallon. Now, on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, early Wednesday morning, Fallon came through on his promise to donate money to charity in honor to the first player to do it. Now, this started when Fallon and Justin Timberlake, performed the dance as part of the Evolution of End Zone Dancing skit on Fallon's show earlier in the month. Fallon said, "We were going nuts. We all saw it on Twitter. We were going crazy." Now, Fallon is also donating $10,000 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Now, Fallon wasn't the only one to notice Foria's moves. NSYNC member Joey Fatone tweeted at Foria on Monday, complimenting his dance. That's a funny story right there. All right, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin said Tuesday that rookie running back Le'Veon Bell is on track to make his regular season debut in London against the Vikings this week. But quarterback Ben Roethlisberger isn't sure that Bell is going to play this week. Now, during an appearance on 93.7 The Fan, Roethlisberger said that Bell's track record makes it hard to count on him because he doesn't know whether or not Bell's doing everything in his power to stay on the field, saying, quote, "Honestly, I have no idea with him. You can't get a read on him. One day he's practicing, one day he's not. One day he's going hard, the next day he's not. I wish I could. If he was a guy like Heath Miller that you knew was busting his butt every day to get back there, Le'Veon is a rookie. I don't know him quite well enough yet, but if he can come back and help us, we'll take him." Man, so he's definitely challenging Le'Veon Bell there. Big Ben Roethlisberger challenging Le'Veon Bell when he's coming back. That's going to be very interesting to see how that pans out. All right, Tom Izzo. Former Spartan basketball players Chris Allen and Corey Lucius recently decided to admit publicly that marijuana use was the reason they were dismissed from the team. By Tom Izzo. Now, Izzo was asked on Mad Dog in the Morning on WVFN AM 730 in Lansing about Allen and Lucius letting him down, saying, "I probably let them down. Everybody lets everyone down. But first of all, I thought it was ridiculous that now we're reporting on websites, you know? I guess that's the way it turned. That's what I was told, but I didn't talk to Corey. I talked to Chris a lot because Chris has left. He's matured a little bit. He's grown up and tried to come back and apologize for things." Izzo also told Mad Dog DeMarco on the show that, quote, "There are certain things coaches can't say. There are certain things that coaches put up with a lot, just like parents do. I mean, nobody throws their kid under the bus if he makes a mistake, but if the kid repeats the same mistake over and over, then it's not a mistake. It's a habit. When it becomes a habit, those things are hard to handle, and I think in Corey's case, I'll never understand. I guess I almost appreciate him saying we have a good program, I'm a decent coach. It's just I don't know. I don't want to put up with the and one stuff. I mean, I put up with it a lot from a lot of players, and his scoring didn't change that much at Iowa State." You can't address this. You can change addresses, but you better change your character before you can really change. And I think that's the lesson I try to teach all my guys. That's a direct quote from Tom Izzo. Again, that was yesterday while he was on WVFN, The Fan, talking about Corey Lucius and Chris Allen. Of course, they admitted that their constant use of marijuana was one of the reasons why they were kicked from the Michigan State program. And Corey Lucius, if you didn't know, Corey Lucius talked about Tom Izzo saying anytime that he went between the legs, Tom Izzo would say, "Hey, stop with that and ball street ball, you know, and one street ball crap. We're not going to have that here." So interesting stuff there. All right, Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom is finally speaking out after a summer that saw a DUI charge, drug rumors, and even the ever-present tabloid drama associated with the Kardashian family. The Trouble Four tweeted for the first time since July. A simple, quote, "seeing the snakes" was the first tweet, followed by a long message directed at his father, who blamed the reality TV family for his son's troubles. Odom went on to say, quote, "Won't continue to speak on this, but I have to let this out really quick. I have to let this man and many others get away with a lot. of blah, blah, blah. He wasn't there to raise me. He was absent all my life due to his own demons. My mother and grandmother raised me. Queens raised me. For the first time since they left came a blessing of a family that I married into. Family. And he goes on and talk about to talk about how he didn't invite his dad to his wedding, how he, his dad has never met his mother-in-law and some of his other family members, and just really how, you know, how his father became one of those things in his life that that never was whole for him, and contributed to a lot of Lamar's problems that he is currently going on right now. And of course, we reported here on Current Sports about Lamar Odom battling cocaine, drug use, and other demons and whatnot. So, yeah, really, really hope that Lamar gets his life together. But yeah, he came out, you know, on Twitter finally for the first time since that episode of him, you know, being reported to have used drugs, cocaine to be more specific. And, you know, and now he's definitely coming out and saying that, hey, his dad contributed to it a lot during his upbringing. So, interesting stuff there. All right, Brett Favre. Brett Favre can still play in the NFL. At least according to his agent. Now, in a story that finally seemed to go away in 2011, agent Buzz Cook says old number four could lace him up on Sundays if he wanted to. He went on to say, quote, today, he could play today. I saw him the other day. He's in the best shape I've ever seen him in physically. He goes on to say his arms look like a blacksmith's arms. He rides a bike probably 30 to 50 miles a day. He runs 4 to 5 miles a day. I need to get on the Brett Favre trainer regimen, I tell you. he's coaching at the high school, and they're undefeated. He loves it. His body fat is 7.5%, and he weighs 225 pounds. He could play today better than a lot of them out there today. When I read that quote, I definitely have to agree with him in some regards. I think a Jacksonville Jaguars team could definitely benefit from having a old number four behind center. I totally agree with him, but for those of you who know Brett Favre, you know, with his two retirements and, you know, him coming back after that first one, it wouldn't be surprised if Favre decided to lace him up again. But frankly, people, he's too old. I mean, 44 years old. Of course, his agent's saying that, you know, he runs 4 or 5 miles a day. He's got blacksmith's arms, but, you know, 44 is still 44. He's actually an offensive coordinator at Oak Grove High School. They have hinted at a potential return, but likely they stayed sharp through coaching and countless Wrangler Jeans commercials. So Favre is definitely keeping in shape, and it's good to hear that he is. But Favre, I don't know if you'll definitely – but don't get me wrong. I think if he came in right now, a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars that are absolutely just pitiful right now, they could definitely use him. I tell you that. Will he ever come back? I don't think he will. I think Favre is definitely hung up for good. But that's a very interesting story right there. So, and also, if you guys haven't heard about Penn State, this story is one that when you look at it, I think the NCAA is making the right decision. College sports' governing body announced Tuesday that it would gradually restore 20 football scholarships when it comes to Penn State, saying that the school has already made significant improvements to its athletic programs. Now, 5 scholarships will be restored next year, and 15 more will be phased in until the school reaches the limit of 85 in the year 2016 and 2017, excuse me. Now, a season earlier, and the school had agreed to. It's according to the NCAA. The NCAA said that the unanimous decision by its executive committee was based on the recommendation of former U.S. Senator George Mitchell, who has been serving as Penn State's athletics integrity monitor. Now, if you look at this whole thing, the penalties came amid heavy criticism of university leaders' response to complaints about Sandusky. Now, Penn State and the NCAA agreed to the penalties by entering into a consent decree more than a year ago, if you remember. That was shortly after Jerry Sandusky, the sick man that he is, who is locked up right now, he was convicted of 45 counts of sexual abuse. They also require the school to pay a $60 million fine and serve a 4-year ban on postseason play. Now, the NCAA also eliminated 112 wins by the football program. So, that right there, that story right there, again, the NCAA has retracted statements it's punishment, if you will, and said that, hey, we messed up. We're going to give Penn State back its football scholarships. That's what our discussion is going to be after the break. Again, if you have any comment on that, 517-355-9527. Is the NCAA doing the right thing and giving these scholarships back? Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a call. Give us your opinion on that. Well, those are your current sports headlines for September 25th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, again, give us a call, 517-355-9527. And have you heard about the whole Jalen Rose story? Well, we'll get to that later on. In the meantime, let's get to our guest for today's show. He is best known as a star player for the Michigan State Spartan football team during his playing career, holding the all-time record for rushing yardage during his college career from 1989 and 1992. He played in the NFL for the Washington Redskins and is now an entrepreneur, founder of Duckett Brothers Distributing. Well, it's certainly my pleasure to welcome Tico Duckett to Current Sports. How you doing, Tico?
I'm doing great. Pleasure to be here today.
I'm glad to have you, man. So, Tico, first of all, tell me about how Duckett Brothers Distributing got started. Where did the inspiration come behind?
You know, before I get to that, I want to find out about the Jalen Rose story. I haven't heard about
you
it
haven't
yet.
Heard about
I haven't
that.
Heard about it yet. So, I want to know, but I'll get started with the Duckett Brothers.
Got
well,
you.
I'll make a long story very short. I came back into town. Was going to actually start teaching. That's what I went to school for. And I found out that it was about $25,000 a year to for your first year teaching. And quite frankly, I got a dose of the NFL money. And we were at that time, I was getting $25,000 every 2 weeks.
Oh,
so
man.
So quickly I thought, well, wait a minute. Let's find something else to do. And and then I'm making a long story very short. I then ran into a gentleman who his name is Ken Potenza, who ran a company downtown, and his organization was doing, $14 million a year in sales.
Wow.
And I just thought, okay, there's got to be more than $25,000 a year in this business.
Right.
And to make a long story short, I started working for him, did that for a couple of years, got a lot of my knowledge in janitorial supplies and supply chain management and just basically what companies need in order to manufacture items. To make it short, I ended up branching off and starting my own business, and then that company was the first company I started doing business with.
Wow!
So it just started overnight, and you know the gentleman who owned the company, he basically said, "Tico, I knew you wouldn't stick around here very long, because you know you're a very young and ambitious person, and I just wanted to get you started, and I knew you were going to take off soon." So
gotcha. So it's doing pretty good
now. It's doing great. We're in 16 years now in business. We're servicing the state of Michigan. We've got a lot of customers throughout the state of Michigan. We're heavily in the auto industry, office buildings, workout facilities. So we basically cater to people who can't just run the Sam's and get, you know, 20 cases of toilet paper a week. You know, they can't run the Sam's and get, you know, 15 brooms and mops. And so we cater to people. We pull up with our trucks and we can deliver up to $20,000 of product.
Gotcha. So you guys distribute to businesses who need certain products, as you just said.
Absolutely.
And you guys charge them based on, you know, how much they need.
Exactly. And I buy them directly from the manufacturer. So it's like I always give a good analysis of GM here in town makes the cars, but they don't sell them. They make them. So they find dealers in our arena. We're a distributor, and we market up and sell to end users.
So it sounds like, Tico, this has been a passion of yours dating back for a long time.
Well,
right?
You know, I playing football, I was always told you got to have a plan B.
Exactly.
You know, and when throughout your years of playing, you know you're not going to play forever. So I actually went back and looked at an archive. When you're a freshman, you come in and you sign. They have questionnaires and things like that. Well, I didn't remember until I saw it, but it said, what are you going to be basically when you grow up or after college?
Yeah.
And I don't remember putting this, but I said business owner. So somewhere,
did you?
Yeah, so somewhere in my passion was to run a business, and I think it comes from where I come from. Where I grew up, a lot of guys around me were well off, if you would say.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why is because most of them owned businesses.
Yeah.
And coming from where I came from, it was like, you're either going to play sports and make a lot of money, or you're probably going to have to run a business. But,
it was already in your blood coming up.
Somewhere. I always was looking for some way that I was going to have to, not be the norm. Right. I just see too many people living from paycheck to paycheck and the struggles. And, when I was coming up, I wanted the Nike shoes so bad, but I never could get them.
Right.
And so it was – so now, as an adult, it's like, okay, if you want those Nike shoes, you can get them,
Yeah, you can get them now.
And so I learned that at a young age that in order to get somewhere in life, you have to do something.
That's
so
true. So sure. True. So when you look at it, when you look at your business and what you're doing now, which is very successful, 16 years, that's
sure.
a long
Thank
time,
you.
Tico. When you look at that and look at your career with football, what do you have sure. more of a passion for?
Well,
the business side or being on the gridiron?
Well, I tell you what, it was easier being on the gridiron. I can tell you that. Much easier.
Was it?
Much easier. But what I've done is I've taken my work ethic from football and pretty much put it the same work ethic into business. You can look at a playing football at the beginning of the year beginning of the season, you have basically a game plan.
Right.
That's how it is in business. You have a business plan. Then you have in business 4 quarters of the year. That's the same in sports. You got 4 quarters. And at the end of the year, you might have lost the first quarter. You might gain the second. And at the end of the fourth quarter, you want to say, did we make money or lose money?
Exactly.
So it's the same way in football. You might have fumbled on the first quarter, interception on the second, but it's what happens at the end of the fourth quarter.
Right.
So, and again, in sports, there's tons of adversity. And are you going to fold up in sports? No. Same with business. There's tons of adversity. And
right.
you just have to correct it. You have to figure out how to fix it. And it's just, I play a football game every day.
That's great. So you're taking the football mentality and put it to business.
There's people going against you. there's right. challenges. There's people telling you can't do this. You're not going to be able to run through that defense. You're not going to be able to do business with General Motors. You hear it all, and you just take it every day, and you get up, and I don't even really set my alarm clock anymore.
You just come up automatically.
I wake up and I'm out the door.
That is great, Tico.
Sure,
I got to
tell
you. And you guys, and speaking of that, taking that football mentality and putting it to the business side of things.
Sure.
Tell everyone what your motto is for the company.
Where we never drop the ball.
You got to love that. I love that, Tico. That is great stuff, man.
It just came out of nowhere. And again, I was trying to think of something that, on your business card or on a commercial that, people look at the card and they're thinking, duck it, and they can't put it together.
Yeah.
Then they read that tagline and the light just comes on.
Tico Nugget. Like,
exactly.
The Duckett Brothers.
The Duckett Brothers. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Gotta love it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us to Current Sports, I have the privilege of sitting down with Tico Duckett, of course, former Spartan great at the running back position. Now, I gotta ask you, Tico, I'm sure you keep up with MSU football year
sure.
to year to year.
Absolutely.
I gotta ask you about this year's team
okay.
because we've had many rants and raves on this show
sure.
about the state of this team right now. First of all, what are your impressions of this MSU football team as of right now?
As of right now, I see a great defense, as we all know. Defense is probably number one in the country. What the problem with the offense is we don't have an identity yet. We don't know whether we're a great running team, passing team,
mm-hmm.
and we don't even know who the quarterback is going to be. And
right.
and what I'm hoping is that Coach D'Antonio, again, he's the president of the company. He's the
right.
head coach. He's going to have to make some decisions. And I understand he has offensive coordinators. He has people that he listens to. But I think him being the head guy, he's going to have to stick with something, whatever it is, and go with it. And the one thing that that I find very perplexing is when he played Notre Dame, we were very successful with running the ball. And
right.
then we got away from it. We were very successful with Langford, first
right.
quarter.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Then they stopped.
Yeah.
So the point is we are capable of we should have beat Notre Dame, but we have to stick with something.
Yeah.
If we're going to just pass the ball, then let's just pass the ball and let's get good at it.
Right.
If we're going to run the ball, let's run the ball and stick with it. But I just think right now they're going to have to make a decision. What are we going to be? Are we going to be a running football team?
Right.
Well, let's be a running football team.
Exactly.
Period.
Yeah, it goes back to that saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix
right,
it.
Right.
The running game was looking good. And I got to ask you, when you look at this whole quarterback fiasco that
sure.
we have right now,
sure.
Is Connor Cook the guy? I want to ask you that.
I don't know because he hasn't been in there. I'll tell you, if he mm-hmm. would have left Connor Cook in that final 2 minutes,
so D'Antonio made a mistake.
That would have told me, is he going to be the guy? But when you put a guy in, And now it's crunch time, and all we need is a drive, and we'll win. And you've given him the nod, and then now you take him out when you want to find out whether he's good or not. I can't answer that question because that would have told us, was he the man? And if you're, and again, if you make a decision, you have to stick with it. I love Coach D to death. I'm a true Spartan, but I do question, why would you put someone cold in there and expect them to do well, and they haven't been in the flow of the game? As an athlete, it's all about the flow of the game. Right. You know, you start out a certain way, and by the second quarter you're a certain way, and by the fourth quarter you're a certain way. Right. And when you just get in there cold, and these guys have been playing for 2.5 hours, you need some time to warm up.
And that's the same thing I agree with, Tico. When you look at that move, I mean, you're throwing in a guy, Andrew Maxwell, who hadn't taken reps the entire game.
Right.
If you're going to do that, if you're going to put in Andrew Maxwell, put him in two or three series earlier than that. Get him some reps. Get him warmed up. I didn't understand.
But again, he made the call to go with Connor. So stick with him. I mean, he's your guy. If he doesn't perform, then you at least gave him a full game and a full opportunity to perform. Right. And now I'm wondering if we should take the red shirt freshman take the rest off.
Are you?
Yeah,
are you?
Yeah, Damian Terry. I mean,
yeah.
If we still don't know who's going to be the quarterback, we might as well bring someone in and like Damian and say, okay, we're just going to start fresh.
If they do take the wrench off of Damian Terry, mm-hmm. I mean, don't you think, Tico, that they would have to stick with him at that point?
Well, that's
don't you think
point.
It's kind of unfair to him if he doesn't?
But that's the point.
Uh-huh.
If you're still exchanging quarterbacks, you might as well have him in the rotation.
Yeah.
And you do know that next year we have another quarterback that's supposed to be better than them all.
Exactly.
So, why
supposedly.
Not?
Supposedly, yeah,
right,
why
supposedly.
Not?
Why not? I mean, you and if Damian's that good, he may not stick around here the whole 4 years anyway. So, play this guy. I mean,
put him out there.
One thing that we've had issues with Spartan football in the past is playing backup players. You saw that with Le'Veon Bell. He ran all year. We had nobody to prepare for the next year. Same with Maxwell. He was playing under Kirk Cousins. He never played.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, you've got to always you prepare for the current season, but you always got to prepare for the future. Because then what happens is we get in situations right now. First year running backs, second year quarterbacks barely play. You got people who you don't know. I mean, if we would have played Maxwell earlier with Kirk, we probably would have known by now what he could do.
Exactly.
And again, I'm not the coach. Coach does what they practice. I've been on the team. I know what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, you have to start playing some of these young guys now so you know what you have in the future. And that's where I think Damian Terry, bring him in now. There's nothing to lose right now.
So Tico says, take it off.
Take it off.
Burn that thing.
Hey, you know, you never know. You've got other Big Ten teams playing their first-year quarterbacks, taking the rest off. Because, again, they want to – if you're going to start, you might as well start now.
Right. Start early.
Start early.
I got you. So for those listeners out there listening right now, Tico, when you look at the MSU football team right now, they're just coming off this loss to Notre Dame.
Sure.
Is it panic time yet for the Spartans?
No, it's not panic time simply because we see that we can play with the Notre Dames of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see we can play with them. It's just a matter of us calling the right plays to win the game. So there's no need to panic. There are no Big Ten teams that are out there right now that are lighting it up. You have Ohio State and Wisconsin, probably the top two.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't play Ohio State this year, thank goodness.
Yeah,
and, you know,
and they have a good quarterback controversy
exactly,
over there.
They have a great
quarterback.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you know, that I wish we had one of those guys. but as you look at the rest of the Big Ten teams, everyone's pretty much average. You know, Iowa, Northwestern has a glimpse of, you know, being good, but, you know, you never know.
Everyone's
and
still
Indiana,
in that even kill.
Right, right.
Anyone can be beat.
Absolutely.
Right,
so I'm not panicking. You know,
right.
I think with our defense, all we need is to get a consistent offense, which I think would be running the ball.
Right.
And I think we'll be in great shape.
Now, of course, Tico, you weren't running back. I'm going to shift gears really quick and talk about Le'Veon Bell. You saw Le'Veon Bell last year. He got the most carries of any running back in the entire nation. When you look at Le'Veon Bell, he was such a horse last season. And he looks to be that, you know, that guy for the Pittsburgh Steelers if he does indeed start over in London this weekend. But when you looked at Le'Veon Bell and what he did for this team last year, where does he rank as far as MSU running backs on your list?
On my list? I would have to just get him in the top five, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd have to put him
in the top five.
He's definitely top five. Is he the best running back that's ever been here? I can't answer that question because I think I was.
That's Tico Duncan. I was about to say that's Tico Duncan.
Exactly. But I'll tell you what, he had, out of all the running backs that have played at Michigan State, I think he had the all-around better package as far as speed, size, being able to block and catch.
Yeah.
I think he had the best package. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think he's a great guy, great player. But he's definitely, you know, thinking about it, he might be in the top two or three, really. He might be.
Gotcha.
He might be.
With Tico sitting at number one. Huh?
Exactly. You got to keep that.
Where's your brother on that list?
Oh, he's somewhere under me. I don't know. He's
somewhere
under me. I don't know. If I'm one or two, he's three or four.
He's three or four. Gotcha. Now, I want to talk about you because we had TJ on the show last week, actually.
Okay.
And I want to talk about because it's so unique and different with you guys because both of you played the same position,
went
to the same school, and really were very successful here at Michigan State.
Thanks.
How cool was it for you seeing your little brother just really blossom into a great player here at Michigan State?
You
just
know,
go back in time to that.
Well, it was great, you know, just to see him and to see him blossom and just to see how he was as a high school player and to see how he grew as a college player and then to see how he grew as a professional player.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I played, I didn't have anyone really to bounce anything off of. You know, I called my dad and said, hey, can you believe this at the MSU or this in the locker room? And he would just go, no, I never heard of that. Or, you know,
I have no clue,
but if that's cool, that's cool. Friends, uncles, no one had any clue. But as TJ came up, things would happen that I would say, oh, yeah, this is what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, you get a pair of new shoes every game if you want. You know, oh, yeah, you get, you know, these are the, I remember when Bobby Bowden came to the house and Nick Saban came to the house and a couple other head coaches. And before that happened, I told TJ exactly what they were going to say and how they were going to say it and how they were going to present
it. And it happened
school.
That way.
And it happened that exact way. And he just said, how did you know? I said, well, I've been there. You know, I sat with George Perlis, Bo Schembechler, Bill Mallory. I mean, I've sat with these guys, and I know what they say to kids, you know, coming out of high school. I just know. Same thing when he got into up here at Michigan State. There was one point where they won the Michigan game, right?
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't say the story, but I'll say it. But they won the Michigan game. I remember we won the Michigan game down in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what took place that week. It was just, I mean, I knew what took place every day. People just, they want to get party. They want to go where you're going. They just, you know, you're coming home from football practice and there's people at your door, like, you know.
The week of the Michigan game.
The week after you won.
Oh, after you won. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
The week after you won. So anyway, I saw him, it was like a Thursday, and he was on the news, and I looked at him, and I go, oh my gosh, this guy hasn't slept in 3 or 4 days. You know, I'm just like, this guy hasn't slept. So I called him. I said, TJ, you know, you've got to get some rest. I mean, I know you're probably still celebrating.
He's
we celebrated.
Yeah,
you're just, you know, you've got to get some rest. And he's like, how did you know? You know, I go, I did the same thing. I mean, you've been there. You know, been there. You've done it. You know what takes place on campus. You know what happens when you beat Michigan.
Right.
I know what the demand is out there with people wanting a piece of you, whether it's interviews, you know, friends, teammates. I mean, I know. So, I mean, those are just simple examples of when things happen. The same when he got to the professional level. I, again, had no one to call, no one to talk to.
Yeah.
But, again, we talked about drafting. His biggest thing was, do I leave early? Do I leave early? You know, and I thought, I can answer that question because my sophomore year, Bobby Bethard had offered me, you know, $1 million to come out early to go play for San Diego. I didn't go. I said, well, if I'm good this year, I'll be better the next.
Right.
Junior year came. Same thing. Bobby Bethard. Now you had a couple other people in the mix from Chicago. And you know, they're like, well, we'll draft you. You know, we want you. No, if I'm good as a junior, I'll be just as good as a senior, if not better. Well, make a long story short, by the time my senior year came, I sat down with Coach Morris, and he says, well, son, you know, why should I draft you? And I said, well, you know, and at that time, I'm not cocky, but I'm a little cocky
you
guy.
You got a little swag going.
I go, yeah. Well, geez, Coach, I got almost 5,000 yards. That's the most in MSU history. And he goes, whoa, that's like a used car to me, you know? And I was like, wow. I was just kind of like.
A used car, that's what he said.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, I had so many miles on me that when I got to the NFL, I pretty much, okay, I'm starting over again. And I had twisted ankles, shoulders. I was still so beat up that I almost thought, how am I going to get through a couple seasons here? Because I'm so beat up.
Right.
And then you have people like Jerome Bettis, who had 1,300 yards his whole career at Notre Dame, right?
Right.
I had that in one season. So when he went to the next level, he was fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he was like,
no miles on that guy,
you know?
Yeah.
And so to get back to my point with TJ's, okay, do you want to stay like me? Do you want to get your degree? Do you want to get accolades and records and just stay in school?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to leave now while you're on top and play professional football?
Right.
You know, because it's just that simple.
It's just that simple.
The longer you stay, the less opportunity you're going to have in the professional league.
Exactly.
And I lived it. You know, I sat there and my stock went down every year after my sophomore year. It just kept going down, and he was at his peak. Mm-hmm. So if his dream is to play football, go now. And it was his dream. That was his dream since he was little. I mean, so you have to follow your dream. So, again, I kept on going through things that he could relate to and we could just both bounce off. And I think that's what makes our relationship so good now is that I've been there, done that. Right. And I'm not jealous of him. He's not jealous of me. We both are two individuals.
It's a mutual thing.
He did his thing. I did my thing. We don't compete against each other. You know, it's just a matter of we are 11 years apart. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah,
So we're not this rivalry of brothers, you know.
Yeah, you guys didn't grow up just saying,
right.
You're competing against each other.
Exactly.
You guys didn't do that.
We didn't do that at all.
Right.
So I wanted him to be better than me. You know, I wanted him to get further than me. I wanted mm-hmm. him to fulfill his dream. So I was very proud to see that he did that, and he worked hard to achieve all that.
Now, Tico, you walked right into my next question. You talk about, you know, the miles on the car, and that's specifically important when you talk about the running back position, because you guys take a beating when you're out there. Every single play, you're getting knocked down. I mean, Jerome Bettis would talk about how after each game, he would just soak in an ice bath for about 2 hours.
Absolutely.
Now, I got to ask you, what is the key to longevity in not only just college football,
sure.
but when you go to the NFL to as a running back? What is the key to longevity?
I can tell you the key to longevity. Number one key is, I didn't learn this till I got to the next level, lifting weights to the point where your body is hard. Mm. I don't know if I didn't realize that till I got to the next level. I finally reached there, but you can lift weights to a point where you are so hard, so thick, so muscular that when you take a hit, it doesn't hurt.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. But when you're not like that and you take a hit, it hurts.
Yeah, when you're like
you're not going to get back up.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
And so, again, the longevity really would be to have a great weight program so that you don't take those big hits and not be prepared for them. And I didn't know that until I got to the next level. I mean, I ended up, when I was with the Redskins, there was a point where I didn't even need pads. I mean,
right.
I'm so solid, and you hit me, and I'm just going to give you the flipper and keep running.
Just keep going.
And keep
like
running.
A truck, yeah.
Right, exactly. And again, I didn't. If I would have known that maybe in college, then I probably would have had probably a little longer longevity.
Right.
But again, I didn't. I was strong in college, but I wasn't to that point.
Right.
You know, where you could hit me with a bat and it just won't hurt.
Right.
You know?
Gotcha.
So I think that's the key.
So you told TJ, of course, and
absolutely.
TJ had a different approach to it.
He had another approach to it when I told him, and I figured it out. And again, kept passing that knowledge down to him. And he ended up that same way. I mean, he ended up lifting weights. He got strong. It got to the point where he was just one of those solid players. And you saw it, you know, he just ran people over.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes, he did.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us to Current Sports, again, talking with Tico Duggett, former Spartan running back, great. Before I let you go, Tico, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. Great to have you.
Pleasure to be here.
Before I let you go, I want to dive into something that's really interesting. When you talk about the NFL today. Sure. Now, if you didn't know this, in the NFL offseason, this past offseason, there was an arrest rate of more than one per week, Tico, an average that hasn't changed much from the days of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's predecessor, Paul Tagliabue. Now, this is data compiled by USA Today Sports. Now, in Goodell's 7 years on the job, NFL players have been arrested or charged with crimes at least 395 times, including 107 drunken driving arrests, 43 domestic abuse cases, 34 cases involving guns, and 84 cases involving fighting or disorderly conduct, usually at bars or nightclubs late at night. Now, I got to ask you, these numbers particularly, when you compare them to the NBA, you compare them to any other sport, they stick out the most because they're bigger than any other sport.
Sure.
Why is it, when you talk about NFL players, what accounts for this? What is behind all of this arrest rates going through the roof in the offseason?
You know, I can probably tell you why. And again, it's my opinion. I'm not right or wrong, but it's my opinion. I think I'm not going to blame it on the money. I'm not going to blame it on education. I'm not going to blame it on anything other than a lot of these players don't know how to turn it on and off. And when you're playing football, you're a gladiator. You're out there. People are trying to take your head off. People are trying to, as fast as they can, hurt you. You're trying to hurt them. Right. You're lifting weights. You're out there. You're beating
your
chest.
You got a lot of aggression.
I mean, you're basically a gladiator, and you actually, when you think about it, when you survive a season and you've been through 15, 17 games, and you're the strongest person you've ever been, you're getting this money. I mean, you're a gladiator. So what happens is you take that off the field. Yeah. And when you take that off the field, you feel you can carry a gun. You feel someone looked at you wrong. I'm a gladiator. I might just have to beat him up. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Your wife or your girlfriend says something to you. You're feeling like, I'm a gladiator.
You got a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, you kind of have a chip on your shoulder. And a lot of the athletes aren't successful unless they have a chip on their shoulder. Because to go out there every day and hit and get beat and in the sweat and the heat and the cold, and all, it takes a special individual.
Yeah,
and so I had learned at an early age, you have to learn how to, when the pads are off, the aggression, the hate, when all that's done, it's done. Right. You know, you need to go home, relax, you know.
And it's hard to do for football
players. Right, it's hard to do for some football players. So that's why when you think of crime and what's going on with the drinking and driving, they think, you know, obviously, hey, I can drink, I can drive, I can play football with these 300 pounds, you know, I can drive. So you basically get this chip, and that's my opinion, what happens to a lot of these football players.
You know, Tico, that is, and I look, when I thought about this explanation, because that's the same explanation I gave when we looked at this past summer when, you know, you had the NFL offseason, these numbers were going through the roof. I said, you know, the mentality of a football player is to go out there and knock somebody's head off. You have all of that built-up aggression, testosterone through the roof, and you try to put that in normal society, it may not always...
You get a little out of place.
Exactly. I can definitely see that. Absolutely. All right, Tico. Well, before I let you go, man, what are you up to now?
Well, I'm up to everything. Right now, I have two businesses, actually. One is called D-Squared Facilities Management.
Okay.
It's basically a janitorial cleaning company. Been doing that for about 4 years, so that's taken a lot of my time growing that. And then with Duckett Brothers, so we're growing that. I'm spending a lot of time in Detroit area now. We kind of saturated the Lansing area. We're doing a lot of business here, but now we're trying to look at a bigger pool, bigger pond now.
Right.
We're trying to take what we're doing now, take it to Detroit, and basically grow it there.
It's going to Detroit now.
It's going to Detroit now. Absolutely. We're in the Detroit area now, working with a lot of different companies down there, Chemico, Lear, just a lot of companies now. That's what I'm doing now, spending all my time trying to grow my business down there.
Well, Tico, thanks so much. It was truly a pleasure to have you on the show. We got to have you on soon.
Absolutely.
Huh? We'll do it again,
all
right?
Let me know.
Hey, thanks a lot. There you have it.
I'm gonna get in the car. I want to hear about the Jalen Rose thing. So
we'll talk about that right after the break. Trust me.
Give me time to get in the car.
I got you. We'll wait just for you, Tico.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Well, there you have it. Former Spartan running back great Tico Duckett here on Current Sports. Again, we're taking your calls throughout the entire show. 517-355-9527. We got a few things to hit on. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right back.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, trading retirement homes for part-time work. Some seniors are competing for jobs flipping burgers.
Trying to get an employer to look at it age-free, if you would. 77 is not as old as you think. At least I don't think so now.
A new generation of seniors that can't stop working. Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports, as always. I'm your host, Al Martin. I just finished up sitting down with Tico Duckett, former Spartan running back great. He was great. I tell you, he had some great insight as to, you know, his playing career here back in, back in 89 and 1992, his relationship with his brother, TJ Duckett, of course. He's also a former Spartan running back great. He was here on the show actually last week. Tico was great. All right, well, now I'm joined by Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. It's Wednesday. So you know what that means, Barbershop Wednesday, and today we are talking about the WNBA. Yes, I know you're probably driving your car like, what? The WNBA, yes. We're talking about the WNBA because I believe it deserves a little bit of love here and there. And we want to discuss, just basically its popularity. Because I didn't know, I'm sitting here with Matt, before we take the air, after the second break yesterday, and we're discussing over the break like, wow. Without that Brittany Griner buzzer-beating win over L.A., I would not have known that the WNBA is about to embark on the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. And, guys, I think that's a shame. I think it's bad. And I was talking to Alex before the show started. Now, I think in today's WNBA league, when you have stars like Candace Parker, who is the reigning MVP of the league, Brittany Griner coming in, who can slam it down. She's a freak of nature when it comes to the basketball court. You would think that the marketability of the WNBA would increase somewhat. But, guys, I'm still seeing it just kind of flatline and stay stagnant, you know, in the same sort of realm that it's been year after year after year in the past. So we're just talking about if we ever think the WNBA will come to just some form of relevancy in the world of sports. Because right now, guys, it's just like that Houston Indians game on Sunday, just a 0.0 rating. You know, no one's watching it, and it's sad. To be honest with you. So, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
All right, I did some research.
Man, did some research.
Wanted to get my facts straight before I came in here to talk about the WNBA. The addition of Brittany Griner, Skylar Diggins, and Elena Delladon has been huge for the league this year. They have been up. They have a 19% gain in viewership on ESPN2.
Do they?
They just signed a deal with ESPN to broadcast their games through 2022, and they've signed deals with Boost Mobile to have ads on the jerseys. Delladon, who I mentioned earlier, she has deals with Nike, DuPont, and Genesis Today. So I think you're seeing, you know, the NBA is a star-driven league, and I think you're seeing a new flock of star, or a crop rather, of stars come into the WNBA. And I think over time, we're going to see it start to trickle up. Culturally, though, I don't know if it's going to get that breakthrough where it becomes one of the major sports.
Yeah.
It might still be a fringe sport, but it's going to be very good at what it does, and I think there is a market for it.
Right, right. And I think when you look at it, I just feel as though markets such as, you know, the big markets like ESPN and, you know, now Fox Sports One now is coming out, just the big markets, CBS Sports, all those guys, they don't talk about the WNBA. You know what I mean? I had no idea. Like, I watch ESPN every single day. My life is sports. I have stuff on my phone every single day. I'm looking up updates, looking at the big stories of the day. And I had no idea that they're about to be in the NBA Finals very, very soon. And I think that's so disappointing. I just think that has a lot to do with the nature of the WNBA game. I mean, you're used to seeing guys on the basketball court, you know, go up for dunks left and right. You know, just the athleticism that's in the NBA right now. You talk about freak of natures like LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, you know, got names like that. When you're used to seeing that, and then you got to watch a WNBA game where you're lucky to see even though Brittany Griner can dunk, you're lucky to see it maybe once a game. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you're used to seeing that compared to the WNBA, it's hard to watch in the eyes. You know what I mean? And, you know, which is understandable, but at the same time, I think if coverage boosted up, popularity would boost up. I don't know. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah. No, Matt had a great point. There is a market for it. Now, will it become a major market? I don't think it ever will. And that's just the nature of the game.
Right.
But for the longest time, my interpretation of this whole WNBA lack of coverage, the reason I thought there was lack of coverage over the last, before Brittany Griner was drafted, probably between 2006 and 2010, I thought there was lack of coverage because there was no awe, there was no inspiring character to talk about. Lisa Leslie was the epitome of women's basketball for years. She was the main topic of conversation. Most of her games were covered and broadcasted, and that was that. But over the last few years after she left, there was no relevant topic.
Yeah, I think even looking before her, when you talk about Cheryl Swoops, you talk about Cheryl Miller, who's probably the greatest WNBA female basketball player of all time, Reggie Miller's sister. You know, even before then, I think the coverage was greater than it is now. And now you have, you know, a Della Don, you have a, you know, a Skylar Diggins, you have Griner now. Those are the big three that have now entered the WNBA. I do think, like you said, of course, I mean, the numbers say the ratings have rose.
Right.
But the coverage, I think, is still not there. And I think that's when you look at the meat of it. And like you said, Alex, I don't think it'll ever get there, to tell you the truth. When you compare it to the NBA, I mean, women's basketball is just so vastly different as far as athleticism goes, as far as superstars go. Of course, even when you look at Skylar Diggins and Della Don, I mean, they're great players when you talk about the female game, but they're not, you know, throwing alley-oops left and right.
Right.
And, you know, going between the legs and having these highlights left and right. You know what I mean?
So. Right. And, you know, the WNBA's biggest problem is the NBA, like you say, because you can see the athleticism and stuff like that. And people have said that Brittany Griner is the Bill Russell of women's basketball. And that kind of got me thinking, you know, you compare today's NBA to today's WNBA, and it is kind of like going back in time and watching, like, older school NBA games.
Like watching the 50s. Yeah, that's
so true. What if this is just, you know, the WNBA is still really in its infancy. This is the 17th season, which is kind of hard to believe that it's been around for that long, but it has. There's a long way to go, and I think, you know, as humans evolve, we've seen people get bigger and stronger and faster in every sport, so why not the WNBA? Do you think maybe in, let's say, 20 years, maybe 30 years, the WNBA is that, you know, there is that athletic prowess. We are seeing above-the-rim plays on a consistent basis. Do you think then
maybe
it becomes maybe a big-time niche sport?
Evolution is something else. You never know.
I mean, you
see, like, Brittany Griner now.
I feel like she's just the beginning, too. I think you're going to see more and more players coming through the ranks like her and, you know, more explosive players.
I really hope. I think
that will start to tip the scales a little bit.
Right. I really hope so.
More notable players, like you said, more awe. But now I want to ask a question. What do you think the most popular women's sport is? Is it WNBA? Do you
tennis.
Bring up women's soccer?
It's got to be tennis. Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Venus and the Williams sisters, and you talk about Azarenka, Sharapova. I mean, I just named like three or four off the bat just now. I mean, you know them more because tennis is more of a I got to choose my words right here. Tennis is more of a finesse sport. I think, and it plays into the hand of women's sports more easily than other sports do. I think I'll put it that way. And I think when you look at it, you know, like a Serena Williams and Venus, I mean, they're superior athletes, man. I think, if anything, when you compare it on a broader spectrum, tennis by far, when you talk about women's popularity in sports, has the upper hand in that.
And for men's, you talk about the most popular men's sports, you can argue the NBA, you can argue NFL, you can argue a ton of different
I think you can only really argue the NFL.
NFL runs the world.
NFL. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can NFL argue the NFL.
At least in America. Yeah.
Yeah, at least in America, yeah.
But do you notice the gap between popularity in men's sports and popularity in women's sports? After tennis, you can maybe argue women's golf. But after women's golf, there's a huge drop-off between soccer, WNBA, softball. You look at the ESPY Awards and what's really noted by the public. You know, there's such a big gap.
Yeah, and it's so true. Like I said, I don't know if we'll see. Only time will tell.
And that's the thing, because women's sports are so, you know, far back in terms of how long they've been around, how long the leagues have been established. It's going to take time for them to catch up, if they ever do.
Right.
I think, you know, the WNBA, it's just so young.
It is.
It really is still in its infancy. I think it can go a long way. But one of the other things, speaking to the point of us not knowing that the playoffs were happening.
Had no idea.
Why are they happening now?
Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't they move it so that the playoff run, the core of the playoffs is in, I don't know, August?
Maybe in the summertime.
August. You know? Yeah, the dog days of August, when all we hear about is baseball.
Exactly.
Or preseason football,
because
that nobody
right
cares
now,
about anyway.
Yeah, no one wants to see it because you got the NFL going on. You got college football starting up now. The NBA is going to be starting up pretty soon. I think next month, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, gets lost in the shuffle.
It definitely does. And then, you know, MLB playoffs are right around the corner. I mean, I could go on and on. But, yeah, it's a very, very good point. So, again, if you guys have an opinion on this, 517-355-9527. Hit us up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Or tweet us. Tweet me at AlMartinWKAR and voice your opinion on that. And Tico, I'm pretty sure he's in his car right now. I just quickly want to visit the Jalen Rose CMU visit. Jalen Rose remembers the days of basketball practice at Michigan when his shot was off or he was throwing the ball away. But he had a bad practice. If he had a bad practice, teammates and coaches would tell him, "What was bothering you?" And he would say, quote, "My lights are about to get cut off. I don't have any money in my pocket. That's what's wrong. You got a new car. That's what's wrong. I want a new car. I like nice things," end quote. That's what Jalen Rose said during his CMU visit yesterday. Now, on Tuesday, before a crowd of more than 1,000 at CMU, Rose joined a growing list of former professional athletes to call for more financial support for scholarship student athletes. His proposal is a $2,500 per semester stipend. Rose said he received a Pell Grant of $900 per semester to be paid a stipend. Rose said that, quote, "The University of Michigan has 900-plus student-athletes. They get 112,000 people at a football game every semester." He goes on, and you know, in the latest installment of shots between in-state rivals, Michigan and Michigan State, Rose was asked who the Wolverines' biggest rival was, Michigan State or Ohio State. Quote, "It ain't Michigan State, I tell you that, and here's why. All the people who can't get into Michigan go to Michigan State," end quote. Now, Rose technically never graduated from Michigan, declaring early for the NBA draft. He graduated from the University of Maryland in 2005 with a degree in management studies. How you like them apples? Jalen Rose just went nuts yesterday, huh?
I love all these comments saying, you know, our rival is definitely not Michigan State.
Yeah.
Why are you talking about us then?
Right. Well, he was asked a question.
Right. Who's your biggest rival? But right. Why would he mention Michigan State?
Right.
If we're not. It just seems like, you know, him and Desmond Howard, it's funny because you never hear Steve Smith say anything about Michigan.
No.
You never hear Mateen take shots at Michigan. You never hear Magic take shots at Michigan. Because they've moved on. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. What is, you know, if we're the little brother and we're the insignificant, you know, on the side to the margins.
Right.
Why do we keep getting brought up?
Right, exactly. And Jalen Rose, I tell you. And well, the question that was brought up, because I think one of the people in the crowd, I think they were really specific with it. I think they said, who's your biggest rival, Michigan State or Ohio State? They boiled it down to those two teams, and he said, it ain't Michigan State, you know, and it went off. But
Still, why wouldn't you just say Ohio State?
Exactly. And you know what? And I've heard that before because I have some friends and buddies that go to Michigan. And they always say that, you know, I'm not sure if you guys have heard the stigma, but those Michigan State is for the people that can't get into Michigan. I'm sure you guys have probably heard that. And that irks me so bad. Being, you know, a Spartan alum and hearing that. Jalen Rose, I'm here to tell you, brother, I'm going to say it. I think he's full of crap for that statement, and I really don't. I don't agree with it at all. And as far as the 2000, what do you guys think about the stipend? He proposes a $2,500 per semester stipend for college athletes. What do you guys think about that?
Well, A, it's just funny that he's talking about not having money in college when he was on a team that was part of the biggest academic scandal
of all time. Exactly. Right. I was about to say the same exact thing.
Jalen got cut out of that pie or something. Right. I don't know what happened
there.
Come on,
man.
I mean, we've talked about the stipend before, too. It's up in the air.
It's up in the air. I think $2,000, that's way too much money if you're going to do it. I don't know about those statistics. He's just shaking his head. All right, well, if you have any comments on this, again, Facebook, Twitter, call us. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Ludke, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to MSU running back great Tico Duncan for joining me. Tomorrow, I'll talk with local boxing star Seth Mitchell. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and as always, be easy, people.